Well, good morning to you, and welcome back to the God School. This is the 10th message of Paul's epistle to the churches at Galatia. I think, for now anyway, this will be the final message out of Galatians. I want to start not at the end, but at the beginning, wherein Paul says the epistle is sent to the churches at Galatia. That word church or churches in the Greek, the word is ekklesia. It means the outcalled ones, called out of this world. But that's not the word being translated, or it's not the word we get churches from. We get the word church from the word kyriakon. They called Jesus Lord, kyrios. And when his followers were encountered, they called them kyriakon. Translated, the word means people that belong to the Lord, or a person that belongs to the Lord. I hope there's some understanding that goes with that little bit of teaching. Paul opens and he says, Paul, an apostle, a sent one, not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Grace, unmerited favor, and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, unmerited favor, peace. God is not against those. He's talking to the church. He's not talking to the world who belong to Jesus. With that setting, along with the other 9 weeks that we have been teaching through this most wonderful epistle, this epistle that set the Reformation, which turned the world, the church world, upside down, with the father of the Reformation, Martin Luther, who said he was married to the book of Galatians. With all that said, let us dive into this 6th chapter of Galatians. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest thou also, it says, tempted in the King James, be overtaken. Now that's not talking about some presbytery board catching a man doing something that he ought not to be doing. It means, if for a moment, if for a time, a man's going the wrong way, it says, ye that are spiritual and guided by the Spirit, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. And as we said last week, this word meek comes from the ancient Greek in the taming of wild stallions, wherein you don't break the spirit of that stallion, but you bring him under the control of another, that we who are spiritual understand we are in control of another, God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be overtaken. It says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Love thy neighbor as thyself. It doesn't say like thy neighbor. It says love. That's a hard one. I'm pausing here because that's a hard one. But we are saved by unmerited favor. And if God has been so gracious to us, cannot we be of a mind of being gracious to one another? Allowing them unmerited favor. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. We are, as the scripture says, clay in the potter's hands. From dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. We're talking God's story here, folks. God's revelation. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. It says, out of the Amplified, it says, for every person will have to bear, be equal to understanding and commonly receive his own little load of oppressive faults. I'm not sure if you get that. I'm not sure that I even get it. But it's in the Word. I'm sorry for my shortcoming and ability to exegete those two verses. But now we're going to get to part of the meat of this sixth chapter of Galatians. It says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. The perception of this word that says, him that is taught, him that has it dinned in, has constant repetition, the God school. For almost 18 years, has been constantly teaching on faith, wherein we walk not by sight, but by faith. It says, let him that is taught in the word communicate. The word is koinonia. It means to jointly participate with the one that teaches. Now, you on shortwave, you know, I've said during this series, how many of you have ever heard a message out of the book of Galatians? And these next verses are probably the only place that you may have heard a message out of Galatians. It says, be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And that is probably to those who practice their faith with promise boxes. That's probably in every promise box. But let's dig in a little further. You know, go into the deep end of the pool rather than staying in the shallow. Let him that is taught in the word communicate, koinonia, jointly participate with him that teacheth in all good things. The one that is bringing the gospel, the message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ and of God the Father. Jesus Christ, who took our sins upon himself that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God the Father, to whom glory be forever and ever. Amen. The one bringing the message, and the one having been taught the message, is to bring, it says, in all good things. Folks, we're talking about money here. Nothing else. If you got the message, there's an obligation to give money to the one who brought you the message. Look, I'm not looking for anything from anybody. You can't even find a way on the God School website to give money to this ministry. Before we finish today, I'll share a way. If you're so moved by the Spirit of God, if you have been taught, if it's entered that thick skull that we all have about what God in Christ has done, is doing, and will do for us, If we put our trust, our faith, having the confidence that God our Father does what He says He will do. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What's the most famous, or as my King James Bible has, the most precious verse, calls it the most precious verse of the Bible? It's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever faitheth That's how we begin. What's the end? Everlasting life. What's in between? Boy, you know, look at the life of Paul. Persecution after persecution, shipwreck, famine, peril, prison, prison, prison. Those who teach that the Christian life is a great life down here, they're heretics. Those who teach that now that you've heard the truth, you need now to perform the law. The law died with Christ on the cross. We are not under law if we walk in the Spirit. Paul says in that fifth chapter, 16th verse, he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And we taught on that. The flesh will not have the last word. If we walk, if we sow to the Spirit, it says, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Folks, God has eternal purposes for those who belong to Him. And what comes between the time wherein we first begin to put our trust in God and His Word, Jesus Christ, is a lot of trouble. You know, it's not all trouble. God... in Jeremiah 9th chapter, 23rd, 24th verse. Let's go to it. just because it's a verse that I used to give very often, or quote very often, as I gave tours in attempting to comfort and to give knowledge of God. It says in the 23rd verse of the 9th chapter of Jeremiah, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise boast in his wisdom, neither let the mighty boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him that boasteth boast in this, that he understands and knoweth me," God speaking, "that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness grace, God does, and I'll boast of it all day long, exercise loving kindness to us, and he has exercised judgment." What? That judgment, that which was due us, that he laid on Christ Jesus on the cross on Calvary. All our sins, not just up till the time we came to know the Lord, but in the time we're knowing the Lord, and from ever thereafter, all our sins were laid on Jesus. And that's the exercise of the judgment that God has done in the earth. And righteousness. Righteousness has to do with keeping covenant. God keeps his covenant. And the covenant, the New Testament, if you will, the last will and testament of God our Father, is that we do receive unmerited favor and cessation of againstness from God . We who are in Christ, and we get in Christ by faith, and we stay in Christ by faith, and throughout eternity, God will treat us just as he now treats his Son Jesus. "But let him that boast in this, that he understands and knoweth that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth," that is, here and now, "for in these things I delight, saith the Lord." So it's not all gloom and doom, and we do have the joy of the Lord through the understanding of what God is doing, through the understanding of where we are heading, through the understanding of the promise of God of eternal life to those who not only grab hold of God's promises as though they're more real than anything we might encounter in this life, but also to those who are jointly participating with the messenger of the gospel. Life everlasting. Eternal life. That's God's purpose. It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. What's the due season? The harvest. It's not talking about the here and now. It's talking about in due season, when the harvest of life everlasting shall come. It says, let us not be weary, as we've said before in this series. In the Hebrews letter, it says, we remain the house of God if we continue the way we started. How do we start? By faith. Paul goes on to say, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all. Doesn't say all. It doesn't. The word men is in italics. It's added by the translators. Let us do good to all, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. You see what large letters I have written unto you with mine own hand. For as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, look what I have done. They constrain you to be circumcised. Type of the law, folks. It's not that physical act. It is putting you back under law, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire you to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. But God forbid that I should boast, save in the cross of Jesus Christ, what Christ has done for us, who by himself purged our sins. By whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature or a new creation. This is the born again experience. Flesh is flesh. Spirit is spirit. A new man in Christ. The inward man. In John's first epistle, he says that new man cannot sin. There is a separation. Walk in the Spirit, and the Spirit will not have the last word. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. That is, Prince, who has power with God. And as Paul said, he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power, dunamis of God unto salvation. That's what we shall continue here at the God School to do. Now, if you're moved, hit the comment line, go to thegodschool.com, hit the comment line, and ask how you can koinonia, jointly participate with this ministry, and I will respond. Paul ends this, from henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stigmata is the word. It's the mark of a brand slave, designating he belongs to an owner, back to the church, the one who belongs to the Lord. I can't pass this up. I want to end, but I can't pass it up. Sorry, you on shortwave. I'm probably leaving you. You want to listen to the end? Go to the God School. I bear in my body the marks, stigmata. How has that tradition been taken out of context by the traditions of men? You know, I was born and raised a Catholic. The stigmata, I remember getting my scapula. You used to wear it around you, you know, protect your heart, blah, blah, blah. And hearing the story about the stigmata, those great, precious saints who got the marks of the Lord Jesus in their body, hands, feet, side, where he was pierced, where he was nailed. And this was a great miracle. No, that's not what Paul's talking about here. Taken by the tradition of one church and boasting in it, this simply is a mark of a bond slave who belongs to his owner, the Lord Jesus. Brethren and sisters, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. That is no doubt. And that's the God School for today.